There, okay. We were going over the bottom of page 33, which is basically the fruit of the Spirit, but we were basically supposed to write down what we thought each of these words meant. Like, how would you say what love is? Now, we started this, but I don't know how far we got because I didn't mark it down. Does anybody remember? From their notes or whatever they were doing? I think we stopped at the bottom. We were at the bottom of the page. I don't think we were quite done with those. Maybe with gentleness we were there?
Yeah.
Well, the balloon popped. It's like, whoa, somebody
smacked it.
No, it was a balloon. It was a balloon, Kathy.
A panel or something.
No, it was a balloon. The balloon. Paula always has balloons, and the kids tend to like them, but sometimes they pop. Okay. That's right. Okay, so let's start with gentleness. Another name for gentleness is kindness. So kindness comes from love, because if you have love in your heart for other people, you're going to be kind in your words, in your deeds, your actions. You're going to show others that you care about them. You're going to think about them, just like we've been learning in the first three chapters. Others. It's about others. It's not about me. I need to be a servant. I need to think about others. Then goodness is putting ourselves in a position to help. If you're available to help someone else, not only spiritually, but physically, monetarily, whatever it is, and you are able to do something for someone else, that's showing goodness. All of these stem from love, from the first one. That's why it's first. Because if we don't have the love that Christ puts in our hearts, none of the rest of this is going to work. None of these are going to make sense. And so putting others first, giving comfort, supporting someone when they're having a struggle, that's all showing the goodness that comes from your heart of love. Now, on the next page, faithfulness. We all understand what faith means. You know, believing in the Lord, knowing that He's always there. But how is your faithfulness, your daily commitment to walking with the Lord? Are you striving to be more faithful in your devotions, in your church service, in your commitment to others, even to your family? Are you more faithful to your family than you were a month ago, a week ago? Is everything that you're striving for making you to be a more faithful, trusted person? Can people trust you and count on you and know that you're going to be there when you say that you're going to do something for them, or I'm going to be here and I'll see you, you know, next week, and you know, we'll get together, and it's not something that's a flippant attitude that you have, like, oh yeah, we'll get together, but then you never call them, you never make an effort to, you know, well, let's do lunch. You know, people say that all the time, but do you mean it, or is that just words that you're saying? Do you really want to spend time with someone? Are you making an effort to be faithful in the things that you commit to? Meekness is humbleness, but it's not weakness. The Lord was very meek in how He walked on this earth. He was by no means weak. He showed compassion. He put others first, and he always had. But we also need to know our position. I know that without the Lord, I'm nothing. I don't deserve anything. I should, you know, by my life and my actions, I should go to hell just like he, you know. But He did something for me, and He made me special. And now I have a position that's special. And with meekness, I should embrace that specialness and not, I'm not to be put on a pedestal, none of us are, but we need to know that we're special. God loved us. God died for us. He thinks that we're special when He knows we're not. But that's how He sees us. When we have the blood of Christ that's washed over us, that's how He sees us, as special. And I love that aspect. God loved me enough to die for me. That still is a lot to get my head around, that He would do that for me. And I have nothing to offer Him but myself. And sometimes I don't do it in a very good way. I don't give Him all of me like I should. And now, self-control. That's one that we've been working on from the beginning of the book here. We've been working on self-control. Or the Bible verse in Galatians says temperance. That's what that word means, self-control. That's letting the Holy Spirit guide me and not me. I'm supposed to focus what I do in my day, in my walk with the Lord. I'm supposed to focus on what is the Holy Spirit telling me I need to do, and not what is my desires to do. Because a lot of times they don't line up. They don't work all the time the same. My desires and what the Lord wants me to do a lot of times are totally different. So, this little question down here, she says, is your life spirit-filled or self-filled? How would you answer? How should you answer? She said that writing the lesson reminded her that being filled with the Spirit is not an option, but a command. And I was also reminded that it's a continual process. I must daily be emptied of self and filled with the Spirit. Christ wants me to have an overflowing, abundant life full of joy. And I'm learning that the more I get to know my Savior, the more I know how to avail myself of all the riches He wants to give me. And there's a little poem. It says, Lord, I crawled across the barrenness to You with my empty cup, uncertain but asking any small drop of refreshment. If only I had known You better, I'd have come running with a bucket. But we ask for very little when the Lord says, I want to open the windows of heaven and pour You out a blessing if you just do what I ask. If You just do what I've showed You to do. And it's like that's humbling that we can have so much more and we choose to have so little, or a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but not the whole package. It's like, why do we do that? Why? I ask.
That's a good question.
I know, but I don't have an answer.
I think it has to be
in control. It does.
And we want to be in control.
Exactly.
And we can't get our head around the fact that salvation is by grace. We want to work for it.
Uh-huh.
So if I ask God to help me a little bit, then I'm showing Him I can do
it. Yeah.
Where if I ask God to fill me with Him and put myself aside, then I'm not doing it.
Exactly. And that's what we have a hard time with. It's pride, it's self, it's, I can't completely let go and just let You do it, you know, control everything that I do. Lord, can I really do that? It's hard. But the more we grow, the more we stay in His Word, the more we study, the more we yield ourselves, it's not going to happen all at one time. But little by little, you can see that this is a little easier to do. I'm a little better. This is working a little better. My life is on a better path. And every month, even every year in your Christian walk, there should be a difference. Something should be different. You shouldn't still be the same. Because then you're not growing. You're not allowing the Word of God or the preaching from the Word of God or anything else. You're not allowing anything to work. you've stopped. You've said, okay, now God's still there, just like we learned before. God's not going anywhere. We're the ones that backpedal. We're the ones that walk away. We're the ones that choose to go a different path because we think it's better. And so, okay, so have you experienced the Spirit-filled life? And most of us, I can say that we have, because we've accepted Christ as our Savior. So we know that there are four things. It says, what four things must you do to get yourself going on this path? And the four things I wrote down were, I need to submit more to the Holy Spirit's. I have to relinquish my hold on my life. I need to pray more. I need to be in His Word more. And I need to go. I need to do what He's asked me to do. And the more I do the top three, the more it's easier to do the last one. To go. To share. To be there for other people. To do what... the reason why He left me here. You know, God could have saved us, and we could have immediately been in heaven. And then, you know, who else would have been, you know, sharing His love and His word if as soon as you got saved you were gone? You know, it's gonna leave it to where isn't anybody telling anybody about the word or, you know, about who Jesus is. So, all right. This is the fun part. We're over here in chapter 4. Yay! We got ourselves already prepared. Let's go to Galatians 5:22 to start with. Galatians, where is it at? I lost it. It's gone. Galatians 5:22 and 23. Okay. This is the good verse. This is what we're going to be concentrating on. This verse, the rest of this book, is all about the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? So, let's read that together. Everybody there? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So, you guys can read it really well. Now you got to memorize it. And a lot of it. I mean, we've heard this verse for a long time. If you've been saved any length of time, you know this verse. But, well, the John 13:35, which is at the top of chapter 4, is your memory verse for chapter 4. And now that we're just starting it, you have several weeks. Chapter 4 is about 6 pages, 3, 4, about 8 pages, 8 or 9. So it's going to be
John
13:35. It's right here at the top. But don't memorize it the way it is in the book. You have to memorize it out of your Bible, okay? Because it's going to be different. Because she doesn't use the King James, so you have to go to your Bible and learn John 13:35, not what it says in the book. Okay, but I told you I had a visual aid. Okay, well, this is my visual aid for the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, this is an orange, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so the outside of this orange is still the orange, correct?
Yes.
All right. This is a covering. This is a protection on the orange. The orange cannot grow. The orange cannot make a mess, but it can, but it is. Sorry if I squirt you, I'm sorry. No, it's like, here, smell this around here, people. Okay, so this protection that's on this orange that helps it to grow, to become an orange, this is God, this covering on the orange. Okay? Thank you, ma'am. All right, so this is God. And you'll notice that inside this outer covering, this bright orange covering here, there is another covering. You see this other layer that's in here? This other layer, this white layer. Okay, so this layer on this orange is Jesus. Okay, so now Jesus is covering the orange. Okay, so then when you open this orange, and when I found out that this part of this visual aid, I was just so shocked. Okay, there are how many fruit of the Spirit listed?
Nine.
There are nine. Every orange has one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. There are nine. There are nine pieces in every orange, no matter what size it is. There are nine pieces. But you may have little extras. You may have, you know how they have like the little babies that are in here? Those are just extras. Those are blessings. Those are just little things for you. But every orange has nine pieces. There's nine pieces. That's your. Then you have another covering. You see, before you get to the meat of the orange, the very fruit of the orange, you have another little covering on this orange. This little membrane right here. That's the Holy Spirit. Mm. Isn't that awesome? It's like, so it's all in one package. I know, it's just like, you're never going to look at an orange the same way again. I know.
And, you know, with that covering, God and the whole, and God and Jesus, they're really one.
You can't separate.
Try, but it's not a whole.
But it, anymore. But it, yeah, it's, so it just comes apart. But God and Jesus are right. But then on the fruit that the Lord wants us to have, these attributes, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, because He enables us to have those.
That's right.
He guides us through each one of these. That's why He's closer to the fruit. Like, I think it's awesome. I know. It's just like, I just got eat this Holy Spirit. There we go. I know. But I think it's just, the first time somebody showed me that was like, oh my soul, that is so cool.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, I can use that with my book. I was so happy.
It's cool.
I'll eat this later. We'll move on. But that's my visual aid.
Very good.
Very nice.
So I figured everybody would like that. And then it just makes so cool, so much sense. It's just, I love it. Now I'm all sticky. Oh well, I smell good. Okay, so, all right, so, love. That's the first one. It's the most important one. That's why it's first in the list. It's not at the bottom, it's not in the middle. It's the very first one. That's because you have to have that one before you can do any of the rest of them. They all flow down from love. Okay, now, I know I forgot to tell you guys bring your concordance, but I wasn't sure what we're going to do. But I can help you out. We'll go over this a little slow, so I don't think we're going to get much farther in this chapter today anyway. So this morning, I was looking up some of the verses on just what am I trying to say? I have no idea. The different ways that love is mentioned in here, the numbers, and the majority of them, even in the Hebrew and in the Greek, there's really only about 4 to 5 words that are used for love, not loved or loves or any of the other ones, just love itself. And in the Hebrew part of the, basically the Old Testament of the Bible, number 160 and number 157 are pretty much throughout the Old Testament. Every once in a while there's another verse that, another definition is in here. But they're very similar in their meaning. So in, like, say, let's just pick a verse out of, well, actually, the very first verse that love, right up here, love starts is Genesis 27. That's the first time in our Bible that love is mentioned. So let's go there to Genesis 27 and see what that one says.
Genesis what?
27.
Okay.
Right there in the front. Genesis 27:4. Okay, and we find Isaac is very old in this chapter, and Isaac asks for venison. He asks for his savory meat that he loves. Okay, so it says, "And make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." Now, this love, we're not putting any connotation to a love that a husband and wife would have, or any. This is just, I love this orange, or I love that spaghetti sauce, or I love candy bars, or it's that type. And that's this number 157, and I'll go into the Hebrew and find 157, and that has a lot to do with just a, forget what they called it, they said it was a hob. It says to have affection for, but then it also says either sexually or otherwise. Okay, so later on when the love is mentioned as a love between a husband or a wife, or you, a lust even love that's listed in here, that's kind of, it's a like or a friendship or a, that's what this 157 is talking about. It's kind of that kind of love, not an agape love, not a phileo love, not one of those loves. And those actual specific words, agape and phileo, those are all in the New Testament because they're all Greek words. They're not in the Hebrew. They're not in the Old Testament. So then number 160 is a different, it's just that means the same thing as the other one did, but it's the feminine form of the word, whatever that means. I have, one's masculine, one's feminine. I don't know what the difference is. How you can tell a word is masculine or feminine, I have no idea.
Usually it is referring to a female or male.
Oh, okay.
Spanish is that way too.
Oh, okay.
Or, you know, all objects are masculine
or feminine.
Yeah, as far as the
non-nouns and such. So it says it means this. It means the same. It just means love. So as we go through, like in Deuteronomy, most of the verses all the way down through the Old Testament until we get into Psalms 18, verse 1. Lost Psalms? Psalms done? 18. Oops, went too far. Eighteen one. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength, it says. Okay, well, this one has a different number. It says 7355. So let me look and see what that means. 18, verse 1. 7355. Okay, so this one says rockam is the how you say it. It says to fondle, to love, to compassionate, have compassion upon, to obtain mercy, to have pity on. So it's a totally different type of, but it's still putting it in the connotation of love. It's more of a compassionate, I have compassion on you, I love you, but with a compassionate heart, that type of meaning. And more emotional part of love, as opposed to a physical part of love, a desire or something. Yeah, I mean, it's like you see, And that's the love that they're focusing on, the commercials about the animals in that commercial. I turn it off because I can't deal with that commercial with the animals and they're in the cages and all of that kind of stuff. That's the love they're working on when they show those commercials, is your compassionate love. You don't gotta love that animal in a different way. You're gonna love that animal out of compassion. And the love that Christ showed when he came into the city, he was full of compassion, it says. He saw their need. He saw all of their hearts. He knew the state they were in. And that's the love that he had for them at that time, that compassionate love. Okay, so then if we go down here a little bit further, we got a whole bunch more of these 157s, and then there's another one at 7474, which is in the Song of Solomon, which we know is all about the love. It's kind of the love chapter or the love book in a sense, because Song of Solomon is written as a husband and wife. This is the way this man feels about his wife, Song of Solomon. I'm sure I can't find it right now. Like, where'd it go? It's right after Isaiah. Okay. It's in my mind.
She look up.
I can't. It's like Song of Solomon.
Okay.
Proverbs and Ecclesiastes.
I kept saying it was after Isaiah, but I'm like, this is not right. I know it's not right. Where's it at? Okay, so Song of Solomon chapter 1. Verse 9. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Now, how would you love that to be said to you? I'm comparing you to the horses in the Pharaoh's chariots. Like, oh yeah, that would make me feel good. But yeah, I know. Are you comparing me to a horse, or are you comparing those beautiful horses to me? Yeah, how is that? So yeah, I know. Either way, I'm not sure that that's a good comparison. But anyway. Right. So basically that this 7474 says it's a feminine of this other one over here, a companion, a friend, like a husband, a brother, a neighbor. It's that kind of comparison. That kind of love is a love that you would have. There they come. They're all doing well. They're all getting run over. And it says an associate, but then it also says like a companion, a friend. But it even mentions husband and lover. It's a neighbor. It's a different type of love than the other ones. So love has a lot of meanings. But then when we get into the New Testament in Matthew starts talking about the types of love: an agape love, a phileo love, which means a brotherly love, and then there's another one that I can't think of the name right now. There's three.
I thought a phileo love was husband wife.
No, as a phileo love is like the way you love your family. A brotherly love, that you have love for your fellow man. That's an agape love, is an unconditional love, a love that God, that's how God loves us, with an unconditional love. That's a love that's very.
What's husband and wife?
That's an eros. That's an eros love. A-R-O-S. That's a consuming
selfish
kind of love. It is selfish in a way, because you're selfishly loving
just
one person,
yeah.
And that's the way it should be, one person. So yes.
Okay, because when you said that about the Song of Solomon,
uh-huh.
You said that's companion. But it was written for him and his
right, but,
wife.
But
wouldn't that be more?
But it said. But it says.
I got stuck. Right.
It's okay. So it says it can be a companion, a fellow, a friend, a husband, a lover, a neighbor, another. It's all encompassed in that. But so in the context of the verb, it depends on where other things go.
Because if I love him like a horse, it's gonna have to be something more than a
well,
companionship.
But he's comparing.
Okay.
So he's not.
We have to realize though that the horses in the king's army were the best of the best.
Exactly.
Because they were performing.
Right.
Their lives depended on those horses and their abilities.
Yes.
And
so it's a little farther up than companionship.
Yes.
A husband and wife need to have companionship, but what makes it worth the effort is the erotic love.
Right. But he's comparing her to, in a sense, the beauty of the horse, the beauty of that animal, and the very best. The very best were chosen to ride in pulling Pharaoh's chariots. So you have to look basically from the beginning. Okay, so for thy love is better than wine. Well, he's not comparing her to wine. He's just saying wine doesn't hold a candle to what you do for me, how you consume me. So basically that love that's in here is
just why I went past companion.
There you go. Yep. Well, but
okay, but I got it.
You got it now. Okay,
I got
good.
It. I'm just gonna go past it.
Just go past that. It's not that important anyway. Okay, so then where we are in Galatians, let me get back to Galatians because. Oh yeah, I was going to go to Matthew. I just meant the New Testament starts with Matthew. That's all I was kind of going with. That now we're in the Greek part of the scenario here. We're in the Greek words now. Okay, so love in the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 is number 26 in the Greek. Okay, so that's way up here at the front. And this very first one, the one that we need to have, which is difficult for us but is the agape love. That love in Galatians 5:22 is agape. It's agape, and it's love, affection or benevolence, a love feast, charity, dear love. But agape also means unconditional. If you look that up in a dictionary, that word, that Greek word, means unconditional. So that's the way that God loves us. That's his love that he wants us to show. Not a love that expects something back. That's what unconditional means. I love you because of you, not for what you can give me. And that's how we need to love others. That's how we need to love our spouses. If we look at our spouses as we've fallen in love with them, that's why we married them. But if we look at them as an other, like we're supposed to look at others and put them first, that's what we're supposed to do. It should start at home. And before we can ever do that in church, at work, wherever we are, if we can't do that first in our home, put them first above our needs, ourself, our wants, but then in turn, we shouldn't be the only ones doing that. It should be a two-way street. He's looking out for me and I'm looking out for him, and that's the way it all works. And it kind of comes the same way when we're here at church. If we're all looking out for each other, everybody's going to get looked after.
Amen.
It's as simple as that. It just sometimes we find it harder to. It's like I can love you and you and you, but you not so much. You know, maybe on Mondays and Tuesdays we can, you know, but it's like we pick and choose instead of just because someone is maybe a little less lovable than someone else, that doesn't matter because God loved them regardless of what condition they were in, you know. So our love for each other is constituted for that. So then, let me find my, where am I back? I lost my place. Back here to love. So let's see what we've got in the book. Okay, so as we know that I guess it's not a royal verse, but it's the top commandment. Jesus says you are to love thy neighbor as thyself. And all the commandments set on that one. Okay, so there's no need for any other laws. Well, that's very true. Because if we were really loving our neighbors as much as we love ourselves, because we really do love ourselves more than we love anybody else, then we would be able to, all of the other stuff would fall into place. We would do every other one of those commandments, and it wouldn't be a problem. But we have a trouble with the first one. We just don't love that way. Now, we'll examine each of the fruit of the Spirit. We'll learn that love is the essential ingredient for all the, they call them graces. Okay, so this is like a gift that God has given us. The fruit of the Spirit. It's an attribute that we've received at the time of salvation. And it's to help us. It's to help our walk. It's to help our growth. It's to help us be better people. And that's why it's important to study each one individually so that we can see how they all work together and why love is the most important one. So joy, peace, long-suffering, all of them, they all stem from the love. So we're commanded to love others, whether we feel like it or not. In 1 John 4, 20 and 21, he says, if you love me, then you're going to love everybody. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. So if there's someone in your life that you don't like, or you may even hate them, or they've done something wrong to you, or God says, if you love me, if you love him as much as you say you do, then you have to love them as well. You may not like what they've done. You may not like how they act. But you need to love them. Yes?
You know, the heart of their Christian ship, mm-hmm.
Then, you know, really what did God plant in our heart? Because he's the ultimate love. Yes, ma'am?
Is actually love, and the other eight are manifestations of that love.
And basically,
the
it is.
Of the Spirit is love.
Right, and then
they show it through
the other ones. But that's why it's first,
right.
Because you really are not going to have any joy or peace or gentleness or none of the other things if you don't have any love in your heart, and that love comes from the Holy Spirit, and that love comes from when God died for us. He made the ultimate sacrifice. He loved us unconditionally. He loved us before we were even thought of. He still loved us. And he still died for me. And so it doesn't make any difference whether we like it, we feel like it or not, because it's an action, it's a choice. Yes, Kathy.
I remember my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Treated me mean,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of hated him.
Right.
And I thought, and Lord pointed out to me, like you said, if you love me, you should love
Yes.
Your brother also.
Right. So did you eventually get to the point where you can love him now?
Yeah.
Good. That's good. You made a choice. You made the right choice. And you did what God told you to do. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're commanded to treat others the way that Jesus or Christ treats us. When I begin to love others the way that Christ loves me, I will begin to understand unconditional love. Now, as mothers, I would say that's the closest we come to as human, frail human beings to having unconditional love. I may not like everything my children do. I know I don't. But there's nothing they can do that will stop me loving them, regardless of whether they're walking with the Lord, whether they're not, you know, whatever they've done, if they're not, yes, I can't stop loving them. And that's the way God loves us. So no matter what you do, God may not like it, but he still loves you unconditionally. And we're going to stop right there. We're going to stop at that one because I think I haven't seen Rodney or whoever.
I didn't get a 5 minutes.
No, but I got 10:30, so I'm thinking that we're about done. Okay, so I'm going to make a little mark right here so we know we're going to start on the... So start working in here. Start filling out this. Some of this is very easy. You go to the verse, and it basically tells you right there what is going on. Do you know? It says, do you know somebody that practices unconditional love? You can say yes or no. Then over on page 39, there's a little. It's almost like you're going to grade yourself. It says love is patient. Okay. And then it tells you what love is, how that love is patient. And then it says, my grade. Well, that's only you can decide that. And you get to choose from A through F. Okay? So you can fail yourself. You can give you a passing grade. You can, you know, however you want to do that. But so start working on that. And John 13:35 is our next verse. And we're going to start taking the fruit of the Spirit verse as you guys learn it for this. All right. Ms. Andrea, can you close us in prayer, please?
Precious Father, thank you so much for our lesson today. Thank you for providing Katie the words and the demonstration that she needs in order to help us grow, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you continue to prepare our hearts and help us to be able to take in what we've learned today and the rest of the week so that we can use it to further our walk with you and to further your lives. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.